Blog Talk Radio.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
We come out here today to make you a python. My lord, you brought this up for you to read to the people.
What's the matter with you?
Hey!
Gotta know respect.
Hey!
What do you think you do?
Hey!
Why you look so sad?
Hey!
It's not so bad.
Hey!
It's a nicer place.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, the only show that features two former champions being Italians, and yet they're from the Deep South. Let's meet the panel who can actually beat the Cleveland Browns, unlike the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, hey, that's my territory.
Hey, he stole it. You can do it, too.
Yeah. We'll start at the top. From New York, we have VRM.
Speaking of football, I don't know whether this is a great matchup or if the two teams have screwed the Fiesta Bowl, TCU Boise State. What do you think, Rob? Do you think they got screwed?
BCS sucks, the end.
Yes.
Ding, win.
Thank you. Next up, we have Typho.
All I'm wondering is who's going to be the first male to step up and buy that new Hornswoggle shirt that says World's Littlest Member on the back of it?
Oh. I can think of at least one, man.
And his name is Jason Block.
Oh, no! You weren't complaining the other night before. Anyway,
Oh, no, he did!
Yes, I did. I love you, baby.
I love you, too.
It is as cold in New York as Tiger Woods' bedroom right about now.
Ooh.
Ain't that the truth. Fucking Friedman.
Yes, absolute zero
yeah.
in that bedroom.
Although, if you've ever seen Break.com's parody sex tape, it's hilarious.
Let's just move on. When we hear the word sex tape, we move on.
Yes.
From Toledo, Ohio, we have Josh Henniger.
Good evening, everyone. I have nothing witty to say here. Underpants.
Witty enough for me. And then from Columbus, Ohio, we have a woman who, well, is probably the only one that will actually buy the DX Snuggie, Nikki Haymon.
I said, are you ready to be comfortable in your chair?
Oh, it's going to be one of those nights. I just feel it.
Exactly. Then again, I would pay $100 for a picture of the evil Dr. Levesque in one of those things. My check.
All right, let's move on. Quite a bit to talk about. Let's talk about how good Raw was this week. Typho, you were there. Give us the lowdown.
Yes, I was there, and it was better than what I expected it to be, especially as far as Mark Cuban goes.
Cuban rock, baby. I hate
I live in Dallas, of course, so I'm a big fan of Mark Cuban. I like Mark Cuban, so for what I saw, maybe it was my bias, but I thought he was a very good guest host. I don't know what others felt about it, but I thought he did a really good job.
He really did.
He did.
I thought he did okay. He knew his role. And you know what? I like the fact that they tied in his 2003 Survivor Series appearance. And by the way, he took that RKO beautifully in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and the fast count set up the match at TLC. Everything he did worked. It was great.
Yes. You know, I think what worked the most? Him being put through a table.
That was nice. Very, very nice. Oh, and by the way, a little note. I don't know if you know this. The NBA, you noticed that that the players came in after he got put through the table, right?
Yeah.
NBA asked the players not to get in the ring per their requirements. So that's why.
Boo the NBA, please.
I got one better.
Yeah.
So they were okay with Shaq getting in the ring and pushing around the Big Show, but they can't let Tim Thomas get in the ring and check Mark Cuban?
Well, the season hadn't started yet.
Still, it's Shaq, it's Tim Thomas or Drew Gooden. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I think the most interesting thing of Raw this week, in my personal opinion, was the fact that we didn't see something on Raw or on any WWE programming this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw there was a conscious decision made not to give a black screen to Eddie Fatu's death.
However, you did see some tributes, you know, personal tributes to the wrestlers who wrestled with black armbands throughout the match, also on ECW and I believe Superstars and SmackDown.
And also TNA, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, TNA did that as well. I think I didn't quite watch quite a bit of TNA. I admit I flipped forward between TNA and Hollywood Squares.
And well, speaking of tributes, we need to make a retraction from last week's show.
Go
All right, let me play the sound for attractions. Go ahead.
Thank you. We had quoted what we thought was a letter from Matt and I, alias Rosie, regarding the death of Eddie Fatu. I've done some research. I also spoke with I've spoken with the NOI family, and Rosie told me no, he did not write that.
Whoops.
I do know who wrote it. I did find out. I'm not giving him any free press. The only people that are going to know about it are Matt and Mandy. And if Matt ever finds you, man, you're dead. Period.
There are three constants in life. One, you don't tug on Superman's cape. Two, you don't spit in a tornado. And three, do not piss off a Samoan.
Big time.
No bad plan.
But the question is, though, and I'm posing this to the panel, why do you think WWE didn't mention it at all outside of a blip on the WWE.com webpage?
Simple. Drugs were related.
They don't know that.
Well, wasn't he found with a whole bunch of pills at the time of his death?
No, that's alleged.
That's alleged.
That was false.
Now,
okay.
There's a couple of things we can look at here. Jason and I kind of bandied it back and forth. You're on the right track, Rob. The fact that drugs could have been a factor might be one reason that they didn't want to put up a screen. But since he didn't know, an autopsy, autopsy results weren't available, or if they're even going to do one, so we don't know that. Another thing is the fact that the Anoa family and the Fatu family were in attendance at the SmackDown ECW tapings. Am I correct?
They were, yes.
And they were treated very well. So it could be something as simple as they didn't want the tribute. They didn't feel that it was necessary. I don't know this for a fact. I'm just throwing that out there.
I just need to find this the thing about that.
Okay, well,
this is from Mike Johnson at 3:19 p.m. today on PW Insider. It's interesting to note that Eki Fatu's family, including his children, visited with WWE backstage at the Houston, Texas SmackDown tasting this past Tuesday. I was told by several of the wrestlers that everyone in the company did their best to go out of their way for the family during the visit. Because, okay. Now, there was also a political article because Linda McMahon's Senate campaign is gaining some steam. As a matter of fact, there are some polls this week actually putting Linda McMahon ahead of Christopher Dodd at this point.
Okay. Can somebody remind me who's Chris Dodd? I don't follow.
He is the senator.
Politics.
He is the senator. Of
one of the two senators of Jersey, right?
Connecticut,
okay.
And right, I mean, I know it's about a year away, but right now at Politico.com this week, they actually had some past wrestlers, this was December 7th, this past Monday, talking about former wrestlers, talking about her ties to WWE. And they interviewed people from Bruno Sammartino, China, who said, if there's a race to Capitol Hill, I hope she gets knocked off before she even starts. She said, Sammartino said, I would not vote for her because I know what contributed to the wrestling world with her husband. The vulgarity, the nudity, the profanity, all that kind of crap, it bothers me. And Mark Merrow even said, you know, there was a four-page article, and superstar Billy Graham said this campaign is the height of hypocrisy. There's a lot of wrestlers who are coming out against Linda McMahon, and the steroid controversy is going to be a factor. So my personal opinion is this was to save Linda McMahon a little bit of political face.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Because I think it's pretty obvious come this time next year, we will be announcing Linda McMahon's return to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think she's going to win the Senate seat?
No.
Really? I'll put it to you this way. I'll put money on it. She's winning. We'll talk about that. Anyway.
All right. Let's move on. We need to talk about a flop story that has to deal with a guy in a mask. I think he's called, well, give me the name, Nikki. This guy in the Cthulhu Quang Predator mask.
Ah, the Ripper.
This guy is unfucking believable.
And his consort, Lady Nightmare, to which, Tiffany, please insert your face palm here.
Yes.
I know you don't have the soundbite, but oh great, the entire Justice League is here. Way to blow Hurricane's cover, Tiffany.
No, I got a better one.
Right, ask me what I'm going to do now. Go on, ask me.
What up?
I'm going to go bananas. You hear? I'm going to go bananas. I'm awfully sorry about this.
That's what happened to
Berkeley. He hasn't really got any bananas at all. Of course I haven't got any bananas. I've gone bananas.
That is the longest sound we've ever played on this show, which is not an intro.
Yeah.
I'll probably never play it again.
No, just...
That probably just ate up about 15 minutes.
No, just cut it to where it goes nuts. You don't have to keep Penfold's part.
Alright. So, what happened between the Ripper and Lady Nightmare and the Hurricane on Superstars?
Nothing, because the match is for ECW next week.
The Ripper versus the Hurricane.
Yes.
The Ripper's fighting to get an ECW contract.
And I'm very amused. Come on. At the very end of the segment, Ripper looks at Helms and goes and calls him Citizen. And Helms looks at Ripper and calls him Ball. I'm like, so nobody's surprised, nobody's amused, and poor Tiffany is still face palming.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who this Paul is. What is it, Triple H under the mask?
Oh. It's Power Rising, right?
Since when did Paul London get hired back on?
Yeah.
Too short to be a Big Show.
Well, so is there, if the Ripper loses, he...
They have to unmask, right?
Actually, I don't believe that that stipulation came up. It's just a matter of he has to beat Hurricane to get his contract. And depending, I don't know, how should they play this? I'll throw that out there. How should they play this?
To be honest, he has to beat Hurricane clean, right? He has to pin him 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Then here's what happens. Lady Nightmare screws up. She trips Hurricane, but the ref sees her, calls for the bell. That's a disqualification. So they beat the Hurricane down, and we lengthen the thing. I don't know where else to go from there.
Not much.
Virgil loses and goes back to dark matches with Caval.
Oh, God.
No, I think he has one thing that happens to him afterwards.
Yeah!
Fire! It's a shame, really.
I don't know. I only liked him when he was the pirate. I mean...
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Sinestro, how about them
Dude Busters brought it up. Maybe he'll go back to being the pirate soon.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Chris Cage. I mean, Caitlin Croft. Anyway.
Yeah.
So how about Vance Archer getting the... Let's go back to the Vance Archer Bandwagon Express and talk to Typho about him beating Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, he finally beat a non-local athlete. It's not much of a step up, but it's a step up.
No, I was going to say, I don't think Tommy Dreamer counts much in the way of athlete.
Not as well, and the fact that ECW is going to be going bye-bye in early 2010.
I looked at the rating.
It was Superstars got a higher rating than ECW this week.
TNA will probably get a higher rating than ECW.
That's only because you have to say Hogan 120 times.
Oh,
yeah.
Speaking of which, okay. VRM, you were probably watching Fight Night Live.
I was watching it, and I could not believe the brass balls that Hogan had to deliver that announcement.
Well, first of all, number one, this was an association between Spike and UFC and all that stuff. They all went nicey-nice. And this is what happened. He went on Spike to announce that on Monday, January 4th, 2010, there will be a live three-hour Impact going directly against Raw in, I believe, Dayton, Ohio. That
correct.
And they unveiled a billboard in good old Times Square this week with Hulk Hogan's mug on it. Rumor is that Ric Flair may be signed. Rumor is that Rob Van Dam may be signed. But the question is, right move, wrong move? What do you think is going to happen? I mean, Hogan has promised that the rating is going to triple to a 3.0 on Monday night, January 4th. Now, I know the story.
I won't want Hulk Hogan smoking because that's probably some seriously powerful shit.
Yeah.
3.0 is nuts.
Raw barely gets over a
3.0. And they do good stuff sometimes.
Yeah. Here's what the rating is going to be. Get ready for this one, because this is going to shock everybody. 1.4. That's going to be your rating.
That's you're about right. This will be right 1.4, 1.5, not even. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For two.
However,
weeks,
it's a step up from most TNA programming.
Right.
Exactly.
Now.
And let's hope this 3-hour program has little to none of what they had on this week's Impact.
Right, but before we go into Impact, I'm throwing the question out to everybody.
Yeah.
The question is, A, is this a good move? B, what should WWE do about it? And C, what is TNA going to do on this show?
If TNA were smart, first of all, this is a bold move, a dumb move, but a bold move. Two, Vince is just best to do nothing. Because even expanding to 3 hours that night, after being 3 weeks removed from having another 3-hour show, which is next week, and that's the Slammies, so he should do nothing, act like they don't exist. And three, Clash of the Champions Redux. Three titles defended on that show. Your Global, your X, your Knockouts tag title.
And which one does Hogan go after?
None.
The Knockout tag, just to be funny.
Yeah.
Him and Knobs can go for the Knockout tag titles.
He's got big enough boobs.
Okay. I agree with Rob that this is a ballsy move. It's not a very good one. This is going to cost TNA some money.
Mm-hmm.
Vince still does not sweat TNA right now.
As he should.
And really, he shouldn't. Because even the flagship show that the IWC shits on a regular basis is still drawing threes. TNA's never broken two.
They haven't even broken 1.5.
What's Vince got to be afraid of? And if TNA is going to have to pull out all the stops, although to be honest, the only way they're gonna pull in an awesome rating is a public crucifixion of Vince Russo.
By Eric Bischoff in the ring.
By Eric Bischoff in the ring with Hulk Hogan holding the torch. You guys already know that I think this has been a bad idea from go.
Mm-hmm.
But they are going to have to pull out all the stops. The rumors about Flair and Van Damme are almost going to have to be true to get people to watch.
Mm-hmm.
As of right this second, I do not have a ticket to the Dayton Raw. Working on it. We'll see.
I have a feeling we're going to see a debut at that Dayton Raw.
Of?
Booker.
No. Okay.
They'll save that for the Rumble.
For the Rumble, and hello, DJ.
Hey, it's me, Rob, and I'm sorry I couldn't hear your earlier crack about the Steelers because I had 6 Super Bowl rings plugging my ears.
Oh, wow.
DJ, you got beat by the Brownie.
Damn.
How does it feel?
This guy is unfucking believable.
But I will say this, though. First of all, number one, if you debut Booker T, that is a snore fest, okay? So now here's a little something that I'm going to throw at you, all right? We all know that The Rock has said that he wants to host Raw, right? And he's also said that the Tooth Fairy comes out in a couple weeks, right? Right after.
Yeah.
You throw The Rock on there, people will say, yeah, the WWE is sweating TNA, but you still pop the rating anyway.
I know you guys are all talking about TNA and what they can do to kind of make some noise. I know there was talk about bringing in Ric Flair and RVD, and that was something that was mentioned. But the one thing that really got Nitro on track when they went head-to-head and they had their first episode on Monday night from the Mall of America is that they had somebody from WWE who really nobody knew to be a free agent debut on the show. That's a lot harder now with the dirt sheets and with everything going on the Internet and the IWC being so tuned into everything that happens. But what about debuting somebody that nobody would expect to show up and that nobody's talked about, that everybody wouldn't think would be there? My candidate to throw in there, and he's not a wrestler, but Jim Ross.
No.
No.
Contract was up.
Yeah.
Contract was up. They
re-signing.
That's not what I hear. It's up for interpretation right now.
Jim Ross commented on his blog this week. Okay.
And I read the same one. It didn't say that he was re-signing with WWE. It just said he was in contact. And they used words like pro wrestling and not sports entertainment. I don't know. I would be surprised if that were to happen if he were to go to TNA. But it's not a 100% lock that he's re-upping with WWE.
Well,
I'll give you a good reason why he's not. I don't know if I haven't read the blog, but I'm still guessing he's still not healed. Is that right, Jason? Is he not healed?
He's been seeing neurologists. He's been seeing a lot of people. He's still not well.
He's not going to go.
So he's going to be one. He's going to do one of two things. He's either going to go back to the E or he's going to go home. It's going to depend
honestly,
on how
honestly, I got one
he
better.
Up. What's that?
I got one better. He does a wrestling show. He does ROH.
Ah,
nope.
I can't see it.
Jim Cornette? No way.
No, not again.
Ross and Cornette, not good buddies?
No.
Wait a minute. I'm thinking TNA.
I mean, I honestly think that the only person who would return to the WWE that would shock people right now is Jeff Hardy, the way they've been promoting the hell out of the DVD over the last few weeks.
That's creepy because WWE has an unwritten rule about people that are not under contract. Typically, if it's somebody they've released or had asked for the release, they might get one or two mentions, and then they're never heard from again. If you're fired, you get one. It's one and done. It's usually one and done. I mean, they even I'll give an old example when Nathan Jones bailed on them in Australia. In the middle of a major storyline leading up to Survivor Series where Paulie was building up this monster team.
Yeah.
The promo, the SmackDown after they got back in town, Nathan Jones' name was mentioned once, and you never heard that name again in any context. And that's pretty much how it works when somebody leaves the company. Or does some pretty dirty deeds on the end of their lifespan, but we won't go there.
No, let's not.
And the promo, the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful promo that Punk cut tonight, including trying to scream over R-Truth when he and Matt came out, throwing DVDs to the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yet another segment that won't air in the UK.
Why not?
Because they're plugging a DVD, and British law states, especially broadcasting law, states that you can't plug, an outside source unless it's like a commercial based, or they're sponsoring the show. So I think that part is going to get cut and be replaced with like a repeat of an earlier segment.
In a related story, people in the UK haven't seen DX in over a year.
Ouch.
True? Is that true?
They don't even know they're back together.
Probably not.
I got it.
I'm going to throw my Snuggie at him.
Yeah. by the way, getting back to TNA for a second, though. I actually think this is a smarter move than people think. I'll tell you why. Because I think, and you may disagree with me, that TNA you know, is not going to get the ratings and all that stuff. We have been seeing a trend recently of second hours going down, not up, for the WWE more often than not. And I think that WWE Raw is ripe for the picking at the moment. This is going to be a test to see how well they can do. If you know how you were saying, which we'll get to in a few minutes, that Cena and Sheamus, this is Sheamus's test match.
Yes.
This is TNA's test against Raw. If they can do, let's say, a 1.5 or a 1.6, TNA can move to Monday nights, and then we have Monday Night Wars 2.0, and then we'll see some fun.
No.
All I can say is that I'm not that big of a TNA fan, but after watching what the WWE turned out the week after their Jesse Ventura show, which was when Vern Troyer hosted, I decided then and there what show I'm watching on Monday night, and that is not Monday Night Raw.
You're watching Monday Night Football.
It's not that either. It's a wrestling show that's not Ring of Honor.
So you're going to watch TNA?
I'm going to watch TNA. And I'll tell you the truth, I watched TNA because I had to turn away from that football game that was played yesterday, which we will not name the teams involved.
Browns?
I watched the reincarnation, the Vince Russo reincarnation of Crash TV, also known as TNA Impact last night, and it was actually mildly enjoyable. And it was better than anything that I've seen from Raw that wasn't a three-hour special or wasn't an MSG show. So I'm watching Impact.
I've got to say, it's going to feel really good to have that remote in my hand again on Monday nights. It's been a long 8 or so years.
That's, you know what, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And what
yeah.
I think, you know, and I think it's cool. I really do. I think it's a good idea, and I think TNA's got some serious balls to do this. And I think you're going to be surprised at what happens. And you know what, I'm going to put a 2010 prediction right here, right now.
Okay.
You're going to see a TNA show on Monday sometime after that January 4th show. You're going to see it.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're doing it because I think it's good for us, the wrestling viewers. But my only concern is that there's too many Chiefs and not enough Indians. You have Dixie Carter. You have Jeff Jarrett. You have Russo, Ferrara. You have Hogan. You have Bischoff. And I'm just interested to see how they all coexist if people aren't brought back or new people are brought in. There's too much uncertainty for me, and it kind of reminds you of the end of WCW where you had so many people, Kevin Nash, Kevin Sullivan, Terry Taylor, all these different people who were had the book. Now you have these guys that are in charge and have been in charge for a while. You don't know what's going to happen once Hogan actually joins the company. He hasn't even officially been a part of the company yet. So
I'm going to say this when it comes to the head people. I think Jarrett might be offered a deal by Panda to sell the rest of his stock of TNA. I think Russo and Ferrara are done. No, I take that back. I think Russo is done. And welcome to the show, Jim Williams.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
Hello?
Hello. I'm the annoying voiceover guy of this show. Yes, hi.
Ah! Okay. How you doing?
Wow. We're doing quite all right, Jim. Yes, he's the announcer for the show, ladies and gentlemen. So let's give him a big round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I deepened my voice for 5 seconds because that's how long I could get through it.
Oh, God, wow.
Ouch.
Puberty hurts. It's a bitch. Yeah.
I went through that a long time ago. I am an old fart, ladies and gentlemen. That's a long, wow.
I kid because I care. No, but I got to weigh in on what Jason was talking about, the whole three-hour TNA thing against Raw. There's an analogy I'm going to make that's Philadelphia-based because I'm from the Philly area, South Jersey, of course. There's the 800-pound gorilla in sports radio is WIP 610 here in Philadelphia. Recently, an FM station flipped formats from whatever hodgepodge of the repetitive hits of the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and today to sports, as The 800-pound gorilla done anything? No, because that would signal defeat. So, like you guys have said, Raw's going to do nothing because that would signal we're giving in to them.
Well, I mean, do you think overall it's a good move, bad move, or sort of like, is this like the three-year-old kid saying, look at me, sort of deal?
Jason, I would say this. They've got nothing to lose. That's the move it is. It's a we've got nothing to lose move, really, when you get right down to it. Either they're going to, seal their fate. I can't speak tonight.
That's okay, Jim. Neither can I.
And Lord knows, Rob, I've known that for years. Insert smirk here. Okay. No, but it's, like you said, Jason, a ballsy move? Yes. A smart move? Probably not. Can they gain? Absolutely. Can they lose anything? When you have really no piece of the pie, how can you lose no piece of the pie?
And by the way, Jim?
Yes?
We have a special message from you, for you, from Christopher Walken. Chris?
This guy is unfucking believable.
I've heard that, yes.
All right.
Thank you.
By the way, Jim, welcome to the show. I'll give you a quick synopsis about this show. This show, all eight of us, me, you, VRM, Josh, Typho, Jason, Nikki, and DJ, can beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I
hey,
knew that.
We
wow.
could beat the, well,
oh.
We could beat the Cleveland Browns. But that,
Rob and I
could
just beat the defensive line, and that's it. Here you go.
I heard they got out, they're not in the
playoffs. Although I should
Pittsburgh
go over there.
Has an outside shot.
I need to drive up to Seattle and, or wherever you live, Rob, and smack you for telling me to put Ben in. I should have stuck with Kurt Warner.
Hey, all I got to say is that the terrible towel will wave again, my friends, and when it does, it'll be more furious than ever.
I have
right.
to say this. Anybody who takes anybody who takes their fantasy football advice from Rob Seidelman, three strikes against you already.
Hey, Jason.
Yes,
Jim,
sir.
Whatever your name is.
I don't know who I am.
I'm in the playoffs this year. I'm the number one.
Playoffs? Playoffs?
Yeah, all three of my teams are in the playoffs.
And I'm going to be in the playoffs, too, for my first year in my 10-team fantasy league, so, meh.
Try being the number one seed, highest scoring person in the entire league.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. I think this is generated, are you ready, into...
Ball talk radio, I should have won. Can I have hemorrhoids?
Oh, God.
What Rob forgot to mention, though, is he owns all 10 teams in his fantasy league.
Wow.
There you go.
You guys can talk fantasy football all you want. I got to go.
And with that said, ladies
and
gentlemen, it's time for nobody's favorite part of the show. That's
here's
right.
The belt. Here's the belt. Come get it.
No. Sad news.
Okay.
Really sad news. Reported recently today that Bobby Heenan is once again in the hospital.
Oh, no.
Well, yes, that is true. Yes.
He's in the hospital. He's got an infection in his jaw. He's going to stay there until he gets better. Honestly, personally, do I think he's going to get better? I hate to say this, but I think this might be the end for...
We don't know yet. You don't know yet.
Don't ever count him out.
You know, you don't know him.
Listen
yet.
To your mother.
Yeah, exactly. Until I mean, look, he the man beat jaw cancer for crying out tears.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tough old guy. Okay.
He's a broadcast journalist.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
He can weasel his way out of anything.
Believe exactly.
Oh.
Speaking of, let's talk pick'ems.
Ah, yes. This is going to be fun.
I reiterate, here's the belt. Come get it.
VRM? Is that a challenge, bitch?
Yes.
Oh,
VRM.
My.
A change. The belt's coming home to Ohio. Oh,
that's right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
There's three of us.
Whoa.
SmackDown. Yes.
That's my title, and come this Sunday, I'm going to be needing it back.
Wow, boy. We got some serious trash talking here.
All right, let's get it on. 7 matches, 8 points possible. No.
Maybe.
What?
7 points total, because I think 7 are pretty obvious.
Okay, so you're saying 7 points total. Okay.
Yeah, 7 matches, 7 points.
Okay.
So, no fun this time around. ECW Championship match. Christian versus Shelton Benjamin in a ladder match. And hey, guess what? It's an ECW title match actually on the pay-per-view.
Holy
shit!
That's
the sunshine in.
Gotta be a catch. Gotta be a catch.
Yeah, I'm pinching my... Yeah, ow! That's right, I'm here. It's real all right.
All right, and we'll start with the big man on campus. That means we're going bottom to the top, so that means we're going Jim Williams. Put you on the bottom of my phone thing.
Oh, you know what? Can't see how Christian can lose. I'm going Christian. Now, keep in mind, I must make a prerequisite here. I watch occasionally wrestling these days. I'm not the big wrestling guy that I used to be years ago. So,
all good.
Well, you're better off than most of the people who listen to the show.
That's what I would say. I'm going Christian.
Okay, DJ.
Who ordered the pizza with extra peep-a-rooney?
Woohoo! Oh.
Lame. I can't.
Oh, wow.
Cold-blooded.
That's okay. I'll just be in the next BW DVD.
Oh, wow.
No. Oh, my.
Who's next?
That'd be Nikki.
Who wins? The fans. Because Christian and Shelton are 100% correct. They are probably going to steal this pay-per-view. And, yeah, I would love to see Shelton with it, but... No, Christian retained.
Right, no stopping you now for making that pick. I got you. Okay.
Oh.
They all can't be winners. Sorry.
And you avoid getting the show. Nope, they don't.
I don't. Yep, never mind.
Welcome to the show, Jim.
Appreciate it. Thank you. 30-year dream, Bob. 30-year dream.
Wow.
And yet you've only been born for 26.
So, figure that one out. 45, but okay.
Go, DJ. I mean, Josh. God damn it.
Go you.
Thank
All
you.
Right, my pick, Christian retains. I've got nothing witty to add on here. I don't want to get burnt.
Go ahead, Mr. Block. Finally, catch Jason Block on We Love to Interrupt at GameTrainersNet.com.
Thank you. Fact is that this will steal the show. It is going to be the match of the night. And, yes, the fans win, and Christian retains, but Shelton's going to look damn good doing it.
Typo.
Shelton Benjamin in a title match. I think I've played this game before.
Yes.
Man.
By the way, let's go back to the tape and see what happened when he said that.
Let's not.
That's right. You said we made the bet. If Shelton Benjamin did not win the belt, you had to put in your Russ Crabb signature for 30 days, Dr. Robert Q. Seidelman is the sexiest man alive.
Man, that is humiliating.
I paid my debt to society, and yeah.
By the way, how about this for you, Typho? I'll make another bet with you.
Uh-oh.
Christian versus Shelton Benjamin. You pick Shelton Benjamin. If he wins, guess what you got to do?
I have no idea.
On January 8th, you host a show.
Ooh.
What happens if he loses?
Then same punishment applies. 30 days in your signature. Dr. Robert G. Seidelman is the sexiest man alive.
It's a trap. It's a trap. Run the other way.
Run away.
It's a trap.
Walk and he's
away.
Got a very nice ass.
The calls are coming from inside the house.
Wow.
We have just lost control.
Welcome to the Three Ring Circus, boys and girls.
Oh, welcome to the funhouse.
Calm down, calm down. Do you accept, Typho?
I'm picking Christian.
Good man.
Answer, good
man.
Answer.
Good move. Wow.
BRM?
Oh, that shriek turns me on. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Wow.
We need one more. Is it a sweep, Rob?
You're picking Christian.
Is it a sweep?
I'm break out the brooms.
It's a wash.
Sweepo. Women's championship match, Michelle McCool versus Mickie James. Oh, by the way, when I bring up a women's title, any women's match, this is the point of the show where I point out you're allowed to take the don't give a shit option, in which you get a half point. Think of it as an insurance. VRM?
Please excuse me for a second. I must relieve myself.
Oh, that sound.
And yet, no.
Aren't those two sounds very relatable, though? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey!
By the
so
way, I did actually flush my toilet just now. Point.
Hey,
I'm going to pick Mickey.
Jason.
I'm actually picking Michelle McCool because Mickie James has been getting the momentum lately. Michelle McCool retains.
Josh.
Michelle McSkeletor.
That's for a horrible joke. Mickey.
Not a fan of the storyline, even though I dig Mickie James. Give me my half point. Sorry, ladies.
EJ.
In the upset of the night, Michelle McCool eats a cheeseburger.
Pumpkin has. You
and wins the match.
Anyway,
she wins, by the way, too.
Oh. And, Jim, if you could,
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
You people are too much. I'm trying to temper myself. Well, that's nice, but Wimpy gave Thicky James a bunch of hamburgers. I'm going with Mickey. I'm going with Mickey.
Shut up.
And my pick, ladies and gentlemen, is this. This guy is going to win it.
Damn dog.
Half point for me. Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton. The rubber match, Jim. Who you got?
I gotta believe Orton's gonna win the rubber match because I don't know if they just on the basis of I don't know if they can make Kofi a sellable commodity down the road. So I'm gonna go with Orton because, quite frankly, WWE needs to shove him more down our throat, allegedly. Rolls eyes and back of head.
Kofi just keeps going up. I don't think they're going to job him out to Orton just yet. And Orton could always get his back in the Royal Rumble match itself because he's always thrived there. So I'm going to pick Kofi for this one.
Nikki.
Sound logic.
I'm picking Kofi because his star is rising and he is really impressing people. Orton will not be hurt by this loss. So Kofi.
Kofi Kingston gets his comeuppance. Rubber match is his.
Usually when you get your comeuppance, that means you actually lose, Josh.
Yeah, I was going to say.
My mind's kind of slipping right now. I know yours is too, DJ.
He gets his
upcomings.
Jason.
Kofi Kingston is the... Kofi Kingston 2009 equals John Morrison 2008. God love William Wallace and God love Kofi Kingston. He wins.
Wow.
What's
William
Wallace
pushing at his abs like that. What?
Typo.
I'm going to say that Kofi Kingston gets his win and he gets his final elevation to the top of the card.
And Vera.
Survivor Series was the beginning. This is going to make it official. Kofi Kingston, welcome to the main event.
And God love you. Welcome to the club.
And Orton wins.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. This is Vince. He's in a yo-yo mood again. Orton's winning. Speaking of yo-yo moods, we have John Morrison versus Drew McIntyre. They will never take our lives, but Drew McIntyre, you will never take my title! VRM.
I wish I could do this in a Scottish...
English.
The power of the abs compels me!
Oh, it do, it do.
Oh, sorry, my turn yet.
All right, Typho.
I'm going to go with Morrison retaining.
Jason?
I'm pulling the upset here. Drew McIntyre takes the belt from Morrison so that Morrison can make a world title run.
And bores everybody half to death in the process. Josh?
The party's over for Drew. John retains.
Nikki, if you can keep your head on straight.
What? Morrison wins the match, but Drew's going to win the segment.
By beating him up afterwards?
Yeah. Morrison's going to retain. Drew's going to lose his temper and try to kill Morrison again.
DJ.
I'll say it loud and say it proud. I'm a gemosexual to the very end.
Wow. Okay.
Boy.
Wow.
Jimbo.
I think I need a new pair of underpants after hearing that.
Nice.
Now, I'm going with the man who wears the fur coat. I'm going with Morrison.
Oh, my.
Bias. Like a rule. That's right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my. Vintage Michael Cole. By the way, Jim, I'm going to need that commercial for next week.
Oh, okay. Sure. No.
And by the way,
history.
Here's what I feel what's going to happen. John Morrison wins. Vince McMahon's going to walk out, carry a microphone, and say, Drew McIntyre!
Yeah!
That would suck.
Well, he's got to find some way to pay for The Rock to show up on January the 4th.
Oh, there you go.
I think this is the Durr match of the night. 3 points for all. Jericho and Big Show versus DX. Jim?
Versus DX. Oh, jeez. I'm going to go DX, and I have no clue why. I'm quite frankly, I'm sick of DX, to be honest, but I don't think they're going to break them up just yet.
All right. DJ.
I'm going to pick DX, and they promptly put the unified tag belts up for sale on WWEshopzone.com.
Win.
Nikki.
The reason DX is going to win is because Jericho is not allowed to beat Triple H under any circumstances.
Right.
Oh, that's true.
Jericho has all of the momentum, and every 30 seconds when DX Jericho is discussed, DX has never won the tag titles together.
Yes.
No, you do that in a football game, what happens?
Nikki, I thought you were going to say every time a bell rings, Triple H gets a title.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
No.
I guess. And I can
this
say with confidence
is
that this is
fucking believable.
Oh, Evil Doc is quite the view. But that is incorrect. Evil Doc has stayed away from belts for extended periods of time, despite all the bitching and whining and moaning of the IWC.
I love Triple H. I'm just joshing you.
No, I'll just say it. The Evil Doc hasn't held a belt in
well, hi there.
6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, longer than that. So, go, Josh.
DX.
Jason.
What Nikki said, DX.
FO.
DX.
DRM.
DX.
Of course. Next up is Batista versus The Undertaker.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Oh, gee. You're interrupting my entrance last week.
Yeah. Wow.
DRM, take it home. Oh, by the way, because we're running out of time, I got to impose a limit. In one word or less.
Go Gadget Plata.
Knifeo.
Taker.
Jason.
Animal in an upset. Sorry, animal.
Too many words, says the judge. Josh.
Don't.
Now that's a password clue. Nikki.
Dead man.
Hyphenated, can't take it.
They write it.
Hyphenated, according to my dictionary.
One word the way they write it.
EJ.
Undertaker.
And Jim.
Mortician.
Tombstone.
Vintage.
Finally, John Cena versus Sheamus. Another dir thing. Go, Jim, take us home.
Cena!
DJ.
Cena.
Nikki.
Hustle.
Josh.
Loyalty.
Let me guess, Jason, respect.
Not for Cena or Sheamus' talent, but
no one word.
But you suck. But Cena wins. Cena.
Okay. Typho.
STF.
You.
Too many. And
STD.
I didn't even say anything yet.
Who said STD?
DJ. It wasn't me.
It was Shakira.
Tick-tock, tick-tock,
tick-tock,
tick-tock. Cena. Okay. Cena as well. That's going to end it for this week's show. Join us next week. 2-hour show.
Wow.
We have the Sparky Awards.
For the best and worst.
He's going to be eating lots of stuff.
He'll be eating lots of stuff, but you know what? There's a lot of good stuff that happened this past year.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling he's going to be eating a whole lot of midget stuff. That's going to be it for this week's episode of the North American Wrestling Connection. I'd like to thank VRM, Typho, Jason, DJ, Josh, Nikki, and Jim Williams from...
Pleasure.
Your radio. Plug it.
WSNJ. Hey.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Tune in next week where I wear nothing underneath my Santa suit.